Welcome to another edition of the award-winning podcast, The Square and the Round. It's a pleasure, as The Square, to introduce The Round. B. Shea in here today. I feel like we spend a lot more time together here lately.
I know, right?
You like that?
I like it. I like being around you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I like being around you as well. You slapped me across the face with a racist comment earlier today. It's all right. You accused me of
I just got to keep you on your toes, man.
Well, you do.
Just want to make sure.
You accused me of such. It knocked me backwards. It's okay.
We move on.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. I was just talking with someone about the NFL draft.
Yeah.
You're a fan. You're a NFL fan, at least. When the Vikings drafted the quarterback out of Washington, now Michael Penix.
Yeah. Falcons.
Michael Penix. At the number 8 spot, which nobody expected. People now say that looking at the body language in the draft room, is that the owner of the team, Arthur Blanks, is not on board with the draft pick, and that really he was the only one that wanted to sign Kirk Cousins. And, you know, they signed Kirk Cousins to this long contract,
four years. $180 million.
And you then drafted
and
a quarterback.
And they drafted a Heisman frontrunner.
Which nobody expected.
Yeah.
Stunner.
Yes.
You think that's true? They didn't. Nobody want. So if you're the GM or the coach, do you have to do what the owner says? The owner says, go
I would
get,
say so.
I do too.
I mean, but I think the owner in certain situations has too much power. And I think you should leave that up to the GM. Well, now I understand he's signing the checks.
Yeah.
Now.
But most of the great owners will say, okay, I'm leaving it to my coach and my GM.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know.
That's how. If I was an owner, that's how I would do it.
And but, if he doesn't like how the direction it's going, you just get a new GM.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
You try something else. It's crazy. That, and I was just thinking too, Kirk Cousins, he just signed that, like you said, $180 million contract. He had a long deal with Minnesota that was for guaranteed money.
Yeah.
He was the first one to sign a guaranteed contract in football.
Yeah.
I think he's made more money for doing less than anybody else, even though he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a fine quarterback. And I would often say underrated as a quarterback. But I think I really feel bad for Michael Penix.
Do you?
The one who was just drafted.
Yeah.
Because everybody and their mother talk about how bad of a pick that was.
Yes.
And imagine you just got done playing in the national championship. You were a second runner-up for Heisman.
Yes.
And you get drafted 8th overall, and nobody has anything good to say about it.
I don't know that it was about him so much. It was about the pick, though.
Yeah.
It's like you don't need a quarterback. You know, you thought he'd go later. I mean, I'd be flattered if I were him by the pick because he was the fourth quarterback taken. Most people thought he'd be the sixth quarterback taken.
Yeah.
It was a stunner.
And they could have taken, the Falcons could have taken a plethora of other people who are available that could have enhanced their team, but they chose him, so they saw something in him.
You know, Cousins is such an enigma because I agree with you that he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play well, like, in primetime games in the big spot, and he's only won one playoff game ever. So I think he's either properly rated or underrated, but overpaid.
Probably overpaid.
You're paying $180 million, you get one playoff win from him. But that's it.
I feel like if you, like, really dig deep, you can find out a lot of players who have been pretty mediocre in their career who have gotten paid a lot of money.
Dak Prescott. Good numbers, but never wins in the playoffs.
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, my God.
Signed that huge deal and never did anything.
That was ridiculous.
So,
but Prescott, never. Could I argue Lamar Jackson?
Deserves to be paid more?
No, he doesn't win in the playoffs. I mean, he's got a lot of great numbers in the regular season, but when it gets to like the divisional round, they lose.
Yeah,
they lose. I love him, but they lose.
They do, and that's tough to say, man. I don't think he's overrated. Lamar Jackson is, but there's just some guys who can't win that game. And you're going to see that a lot. You're going to see a lot of dudes who are fine, but they just can never win the big game.
So then, but you've got to pay them an enormous amount of money.
You
got to
pay them something.
Well, but
you know what I mean?
These are the guys that are highest paid. I mean, Dak Prescott, my God, he's making huge money, as is Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson. I mean, he got a big payday, which, I mean, I guess deservedly, but at the end of the day, if you're the Ravens, the Cowboys, you need to win the Super Bowl, and they don't even get close.
But then here's the thing, too, is like over the past 20 years, it's not like there's this huge carousel of teams winning the Super Bowl. It's really only been about 5-6 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to pay the quarterback something to stick around.
Yeah.
If it was like a different team winning every year, okay, I could see your argument of they're getting paid too much, but who's really winning? Well, Patrick Kansas Mahomes City. Is winning.
Mahomes and Brady.
Tom Brady's winning. Mm-hmm. And, a Matt Stafford will win.
Every once in a while.
Or a Joe Flacco will win. But it's the same guys over and over.
That's true. It's Brady and Mahomes for the last several years. Like, they're so head and shoulders above everybody. And, do you know, Mahomes, he's become, like, in the next few years, he'll be, like, only, like, the ninth or tenth highest paid quarterback.
Yeah.
It's just
But that's how that happens. He got his deal.
Yeah.
And he's winning.
Yeah.
You know?
And he probably... If I were him, he's doing exactly what Brady did. So smart. It's like he doesn't demand to be the highest paid guy. Because why? It's like they're winning every year. And he can make a ton of money there and a ton of money with endorsements. He's on every other commercial.
Like the endorsements he's making.
Yeah.
He's a minor investor. Or he owns a stake of the team. Yeah. Owns a stake of the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah. And it's like, let that money. And it's like, you don't, as long as your ego doesn't get in the way, let somebody else, Dak Prescott be the highest paid quarterback. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you free up a little money for an offensive lineman or receiver that you need. You know,
because at the end of the day, when it comes down to legacy, nobody cares about how much money you made.
It's Super Bowls.
Nobody cares about how much you won.
It's Super Bowls.
Yes.
I heard a story once about Jerry Seinfeld, my favorite. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah.
In the 90s, when his show was rolling, Seinfeld, there was a report out that Tim Allen, who was on Home Improvement, was the highest paid actor on television.
Yeah.
But really, Jerry Seinfeld was, because he got all sorts of back deals and, you know, in the but on paper, it looked like Tim Allen was higher paid, and he was in Entertainment Weekly or something. So Seinfeld goes to his agent just enraged and says, "This is not right. I want to call a press conference. I want this." And the agent was like, "Who cares? You're making all the money. Who cares what somebody says? Just enjoy it and look like a bigger guy and shut up and take all the money."
Because in 30 years, what's people going to talk about? Seinfeld or Home Improvement?
Seinfeld.
No question.
And the agent said, "You're making a better product.
Yeah.
You're the number one ranked show. We know you're the highest paid. What do you care?
Yeah.
Just take the money. Shut up."
Because I think for millionaires, like, what's the real difference between 40 and 50?
Well, I always say that,
you know what I mean?
Too. Yeah, I always say that. It's like, what did you say today? They just gave Tiger Woods $100 million.
For loyalty.
Loyalty to the PGA Tour, which you were liked, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, Tiger Woods could literally just write a check over to some charity and be like,
he doesn't need it. You know what I mean? Like, there are other people on the PGA Tour who are just as valuable to the brand, maybe not as valuable, just as valuable, who could use that money for loyalty.
You know, and it's weird to say, like, some people tell me, well, you can't spend other people's money. You know, you never know anybody's financial situation. But, like, when Paul McCartney came around in concert to around this area, he was charging whatever. It was like $180 a ticket or $300 a ticket, you know. And I thought I would say, well, you know, he has more money. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
He, you know, generations after generations of McCartneys will never have to worry about a thing. So why not do the concert for like a $20 ticket? And people said to me, well, you've got to pay all his roadies and the T-shirt makers and all that stuff. So wouldn't it be great if a Taylor Swift or a Paul McCartney or whoever it is said, okay, we need this much money to pay a really good wage to everybody that works for me. I won't take a penny out of this concert.
You know,
I've made so much money. And you don't even put the story out, but the story would get out. So the ticket price is $35.
Yeah.
You know, that's all the tickets are $35. And the goodwill they would get from that.
Exactly. Say you're a Taylor Swift and you just go on an acoustic tour.
Yes.
It's going to be me and my acoustic guitar. I'm going to play 2,000 room theaters, 2,000 seat theaters, and tickets are going to be $20.
Yes.
First come, first serve.
Yes.
And it's just going to be a small, intimate thing. Like, do you know how cool that would be to see the show? Now, stadium shows are cool, but I would rather go to a small theater and see somebody like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't take a dime for it.
Exactly. And they need it. Now, again, it's not my money, but I really do feel like, well, if I got to that level, I wouldn't care about, you know, I'd work for free or
then
not
again,
work. You know?
She is only, what, 35?
She's 30, but she's a billionaire.
She is,
She is a billionaire. Yeah. And she could do this. She could keep charging money till she's 40 and then do what you just said.
Yeah.
Acoustic. And it would never.
No,
there's not enough.
And she's only just going to grow as an enigma,
right,
for stuff like that.
But then again, you can't tell people. Now I'm sounding like those guys that when Oprah and The Rock gave all that money to Hawaii.
Yeah,
we mentioned this, that they gave $10 million to relief for the wildfires in Hawaii, and people, you know, dragged him online. Oh, only $10 million. You have so much more than that. Hey, shut up.
Look, come on. I gave something. $10 million is a lot of money.
No kidding. And come how much are you? You know, and they were like, well, it's like 65 cents to you. Well, so what? Yeah, I mean, that's a $10 million.
I didn't have to give anything.
And I've gotten other people to go in. You can't fault people for doing that. That's doing the right thing.
No.
You know what I read about Taylor Swift today? I wonder how you think about this. How do you feel about cursing in music?
I love it.
I hate it.
I
do. I hate it. And I'll tell you why. And here's why.
If it fits the mood,
right?
Not necessary cussing. I get it. Like, I think Olivia Rodrigo cusses too much in her music.
I agree.
I love her, but she unnecessarily cusses in her music.
When I was a kid, and I would watch TV or movies, and then listen to the radio, it was like you expected cursing. Even the word like damn or hell or the S word, not the S word, but you'd hear that on television, but you never heard it really in music, occasionally, very rare.
Yeah.
Like, very rare. And then, nowadays, I mean, rappers curse, of course. I just read the stat that this album from Taylor Swift compared to her first album, there's 5,600% more times cursing. This cursing is up by 5,600%.
See, I didn't even, obviously I haven't listened to the album, so she cusses a lot on
apparently,
this album.
Apparently. Yeah. And same about Rodrigo. Now, I listen to Rodrigo on the radio.
Yeah.
And I like it. Well, then one day my daughter said, have you heard the new Olivia Rodrigo song? And she dialed it up, and there it was. And it was like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, she's cursing left and right. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's jarring to me. I can't stand
it. Like the song Driver's License, when I listened to it, I had heard the radio edit. You listen to it, I'm like, oh, she actually swears in this song. I didn't know that. The
radio edit's much better in my mind. I think the cursing takes me out of it. I can't stand it.
No, I think if it's, I don't know. I think it just fits so well in rap music because that's the lore behind it. But I don't know. Like a pop song.
I don't know. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I mean, my sister one time was listening on an old 8-track, and I was about 8 years old, and she had the song She's So Cold, I believe, by the Rolling Stones, or You're So Cold by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm so hot for her, and she's so GD cold. And my sister would turn it down every time the GD would come on.
Yeah.
But when I heard it, I was like, oh, my God, they're saying that word? And it was so like, oh, my God. Well, now, I mean, it's just everywhere.
It's kind of weird to hear a song that doesn't have cussing in it.
Yeah,
you know?
I hate that. I hate that. Yeah. I just don't like the coarseness, crassness that we've come to. But that's probably my age talking. But I hate it when somebody like Olivia Rodrigo, who's like 20 or 18 years old when she starts, like cursing and all that stuff.
But I think she's trying to, she's trying to be angsty.
Yeah.
Which I get, I guess. For somebody her age trying to relate to the people she's trying to relate to.
I guess
it is kind of refreshing for a young lady to hear somebody like that swearing on a song because, I don't think swearing isn't ladylike or deemed as ladylike. So I guess that kind of, she can,
I think we could use a little more couth and a little more manners, and I think we have gotten way, way away from that here. I mean, we dress a lot more slovenly than we used to, and of course I do myself, but it's just like, come on. I just feel like we've gotten away from that, and it's to the detriment of our society.
Now, look, I was not around for Michael Jackson, and I'm trying to understand this. Mm-hmm. Who is a bigger star?
Ever?
Taylor Swift or Michael Jackson?
Ooh. Dang. I think at the time, Michael Jackson. I want to say Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Barely.
Okay.
I mean, barely. He was, came along with the Jackson 5, of course.
Yeah.
But then when he became, Thriller was so enormous.
Yeah.
Plus, it's so much easier to access the music now.
True.
Then
I think social media, I think people are a lot more visible.
Oh, totally.
Like, Taylor Swift's a lot more visible because you see her everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you have means to see her wherever you want.
Right.
But I feel like at the time, as big as Michael Jackson was, I feel like that would make him bigger.
I agree.
Like, imagine if social media was around when Michael Jackson was popping.
Off the chart. I think Madonna maybe. It's really close. I mean, when you look back at it. Yeah, I think Michael Jackson was probably bigger. Did you hear Michael J. Fox recently said it was so much, you had to actually have real talent to be a celebrity back in the 80s, now you don't? Do you think that's true?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Me too.
Yeah.
He said you have to really work. At that time, you had to work hard. Now, you can become a celebrity. Just
the working hard thing, I don't necessarily believe that people who are get to celebrity status aren't necessarily working hard, but the talent thing, 100%.
He said you had to have real talent. That's what he said. He said you had to have real talent to be a celebrity back in whatever year, 70s, 80s. Now you can just sort of trip over it. And I do think that's true.
Well, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with streamers now?
Not at all.
Okay, there are kids, there are 23, 24-year-old people mm-hmm. who just stream on the internet all day.
Yeah.
Just them.
Yeah.
And they've got make millions of dollars, and they've got millions of people following, and they really don't, they're kind of larger than life personalities, but they're not really doing anything special. They just play video games and react to it while they're playing video games, and they get paid millions of dollars.
I hate
it's the weirdest thing.
You probably like that.
I know I don't. I hate that it exists.
I hate that
because
too.
I would rather watch somebody talent like play a song or sing a song or something.
That
you
would
know.
Be preferred.
No,
certainly.
Am I jealous? 100%. I wish it was me. God. I wish I got paid that much to do nothing.
Did you come up with something?
I don't know. I really don't know what I don't because that's the. It's hard to explain.
Yeah,
like me explaining it to you doesn't make sense.
No, I know
but
what
it's
you mean.
A thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, and it's like, and that's why people now today, if you ask them what they want to be influencers or streamers or whatever, and it's like, my God, what. You know, I feel like we're losing out on people actually learning a skill and doing something.
Well, see, and that's the thing is because I think becoming a celebrity has become so easy.
Do you think, well, I'll say this. I heard John Mellencamp say that a celebrity is less respected now than it's ever been before.
Yeah,
100%, and here's his example. He's like, every celebrity in the world said Hillary Clinton should be the president. Mm-hmm. You know, they were all about... And she lost.
Yeah.
You know, she lost to Donald Trump. Of course, he is a celebrity. Or
sure.
It
yeah,
still is.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, you know, celebrity means nothing anymore. So what if I tell you to go vote for somebody? Nobody's going to.
Yeah.
It's like now some celebrities are greeted with like, for as many as love Taylor Swift, many now hate her, you know, because they turned the back on her. You know, the backlash is bad.
Well, you know, I think people associate money with knowledge, which is a terrible thing to do.
Yes.
And I think that at some point, along the line, we as the common people have access to the same amount and same knowledge as everybody else does now. So really, celebrities have no influence in that sphere.
Mm-hmm.
They can convince you to go buy something.
They can.
You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, or if this person endorses this product, but, you know, I can do just as much research about why not to vote for Hillary Clinton than that person telling me to.
I don't think I've ever. Have you ever bought something because a celebrity loved it? Well, you're a big Kanye. You buy his shoes.
Oh, yeah. I bought his shoes.
Michael Jordan. Well, I bought Jordans when I was a little kid. You know, I was young.
Yeah.
All because they were his shoes. I'm not really affected by that at all anymore. I mean, celebrities on a. If a commercial comes on with some celebrity that I like, it doesn't.
No, if I like the product and I feel like the product would be useful to me, then I'll use it, but not like, oh, so-and-so did that, I'm going to get that, you know.
But it works.
But it works.
It does
for
work.
Sure.
I mean, because they use, you know, when Jennifer Garner's on for that credit card, it doesn't make me want the credit card.
No,
you know?
Absolutely
not at all.
Not. Or she's on there for Priceline or whatever.
Never. But they get paid an enormous amount of money to do that.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's what you have to have. You have to have a recognizable face conveying and communicating your product. Because if, well, then again, I take that back. Or like somebody memorable, like Flo from Progressive
or
something.
That's better advertising.
But they've created a character there. Yeah.
But you know, more creative than the celebrity, just like Jennifer Garner saying, buy the Capital One, the Capital One Venture Card, which I do know the name of. And you know, everybody else is on that commercial too.
Yeah.
Especially during the NCAA.
Samuel L. Jackson's on there.
Samuel L. Jackson, Jim Nance, Charles Barkley, all of them. So, but I think more clever than that is when... Kim Kardashian just shows up at a club and takes a picture, but she's really paid to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
because it seems more organic, even though it's not. You know, that's tricky advertising.
Well, see, that's the thing about, like, The Tonight Show is that I think a lot of people believe that they're just stopping by.
Used to be that way, for sure. When I was younger, I thought, I wonder what they're doing. You know,
They were just in town.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to stop by, say hey to so-and-so.
But I don't think The Tonight Show... even has any, I mean, who cares that somebody's on the Tonight Show?
I agree. I think there will always be an audience for it, but never as big as what it once was.
Oh, God. Johnny Carson, you know, came along, and I guess Jay Leno, but Johnny Carson, it was the perfect timing. Today, it wouldn't matter.
No.
You know, everybody tuned in to see it. Now you don't have to. I think Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert, they just want the next day people to look online and see what they did.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what it all amounts to now.
It's no longer.
Is the YouTube clicks.
Yeah, it's no longer about being on the show itself. You know? Advertising is funny because, you know, like recently I tried that AG1 product.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, and my wife and I do this all the time. We'll be sitting talking about something, and then all of a sudden, on my television, there's a commercial for it.
Yes.
It's like YouTube TV is listening to me.
Yes, it is.
You know, I go to the gym, Orange Theory.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I'll come in and say, we did this and that at Orange Theory, and about 20 minutes later, there's a commercial for Orange Theory that I never see anywhere else.
What'd you think about AG1? Did you actually try it?
I did, and I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
Do you want to buy it? I've still got...
How much do you have?
3/4 of it.
But like, okay, so it's just like a supplement that you pour in your water bottle or something?
Yes, AG1 is pulverized vegetables. It's like powder. It's a green powder, and it comes with a scoop, and you put it in, 8 ounces or 16 ounces of water in the morning, and then you drink it, and it's supposed to give you all the vegetables and nutrients that you really need for the day.
Okay.
And then everything else is just add... I just didn't like the taste, and I couldn't get into doing it.
I assume that it didn't taste well.
Some people told me they love it. It tastes more like pineapple, but I found it tastes like a very weak pineapple juice and not sweet enough, and I didn't like it, and I paid $100 for it. Once again, something my wife told me not to do, which I did, and it's still sitting in my fridge mocking me. I'll give it to you. Well, I promised Martha, who also works here, I'd sell it to her. She's offered me $30 for it.
Sell it to her.
I have to.
She'd probably use it better
what
than
good
I would.
What good is it going to do you?
It would probably just clean me out.
Exactly.
I'd probably get diarrhea from it.
God, you're
just
right.
Just crap it all
out. But
that
would be good.
It would be like a fresh start,
that
like
would be a
reset
good
or something.
There's your lead-in for the top 5 things that feel good. Now, that feels bad.
It does feel bad.
I don't like diarrhea.
Sometimes it feels good, but most of the time it feels
bad.
When
you mentioned this last week, I loved it. You were out of town after we, where'd you go, the beach?
Yeah.
You enjoyed it. You're not a beach person.
No, I don't like the beach.
And yet you enjoy the beach.
But I like going to the beach because I know I don't have to do anything.
Right.
You know.
But if you just stay, so what you told me you did was stay in the house 90% of the time.
That's why I don't.
You could have done that here.
True.
And spent no money.
True.
But
you know, it's nice to see new places.
Yes.
I guess
you enjoyed the beach atmosphere.
Yeah. No, I went on the beach for about 45 minutes, sat down, got the ocean on my feet, and then I just went back
on into the
took
house.
Took a nap. Yeah.
I really enjoy the beach. I'm a huge fan. Now, what you said last week was, let's do this. Let's get ahead of it. Top 5 physical feelings that feel great.
Yes.
Non-sexual.
So I feel like as two guys sitting here, we could sit here and go, oh, man, I love me a blowjob. Like, of course, who doesn't? But.
Do you think any of the things that are on your list are better than a sexual feel?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, all
yes.
right. Because before I had sex, when I was a virgin, I would talk to other guys about what's it like, and they're just like, man, it just blows your mind.
Yeah.
It's just unreal.
No,
you know?
It's an amazing feeling, and everybody enjoys it. But if you gave me an opportunity to do this as opposed to having to like build up to have sex, I would probably rather do this.
You do these things?
Yes, 100%.
My things are all easy, but they're great.
Well, I mean, not everything, but like one or two things.
Well, what's
here.
One of yours? What's the 5?
Let's see. Number 5. I don't have this in any particular order.
And I actually came up with 6.
But one feeling that I love is waking up early on a weekend.
There it is.
And then realizing you don't have to go anywhere.
It's perfect.
And then you just go, you get
perfect.
The cover,
perfect.
Go right back over you and sleep for another 6 hours.
That is a great feeling.
I love
it. When you're laying there, that's on my list.
Yes.
You're half in, half out of sleep. You wake up, but there's nowhere to be. There's nothing you have to do, so you just lay there. You know the thing that ruins it? When you have to pee.
Have to pee, yes.
You got to get up.
But that time when you don't have to pee.
Oh, my
and
God.
You just,
and it's just perfectly warm enough and nobody's going to bother you.
Yes.
And you're laying there and you can lay there another hour, 2 hours, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, some people would say, okay, like waking up early and then realizing you have like 3 more hours to sleep. No, I'm talking about no time
table.
No,
agreed.
Like, I don't have to wake
up. It's a Saturday and I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I love it. I never have that feeling. I
mean,
I am
feeling.
Never. I'm always getting up to go do something, even on weekends.
This coming weekend, you should just not do anything.
I have to play pickleball.
But you're a go-getter, man.
Every weekend,
you like going out and doing stuff.
I do,
which I respect.
I do. I like that feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, that was on my list. Believe
me,
because you're perfectly warm, and it's like nobody's going to bother. I just love everything about it. Now you mentioned urinating.
Yes,
that's on mine. Pee shiver.
Pee shiver.
Pee shiver. You experience it?
Love a pee shiver.
Well, men get it more than women. Yeah, you get a little shiver when you pee. Somewhat orgasmic.
I would say it's probably a neighbor to it.
It's
or akin to it somehow.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling. It's not sexual. It's urinary.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot.
Okay, well while we're in this...
Can't predict it.
While we're in this nether region, I don't know if women have the same... scratching your nuts. This is something.
No, I don't think women
something
do.
That, well, I didn't
some
know.
Some women.
I didn't. Yeah, maybe.
But
I didn't know if scratching that area for women had the same. I don't know.
That is a good. That's a good.
Because
you know, when you need it, any relief.
When
it.
It's an isolated itch.
Mm-hmm,
on the ball sack. and you've got to like take it and you've got to like roll it and you've got to get deep in there. It is the best.
Remember
feeling.
Earlier when I said I thought our society was becoming too crass?
Yes.
Here's an example.
There's no easy way to explain this.
I know what you mean. Well, scratching an itch anywhere really is a
but
nice.
Especially on your nuts, I think is just the best feeling of all
time. I didn't have it
time.
On there. Yes. I didn't have it on my list. It's a great feeling. Yeah. That is a great feeling. Okay, I have one. When your team, your favorite team, wins a championship of any kind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's been a while since I've
felt that.
2015 was the last time I felt that.
Duke.
Yes.
In 2015. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, especially if the team hasn't won in forever, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
When they beat the Yankees in 04.
In 04, I bet that was astounding.
And then won the World Series. It's just, I mean, it's like, what a feeling, you know? Yeah. When the Tar Heels win a championship, when the Broncos won the Super Bowl for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm a big Broncos fan. John Elway had never won it. I mean, it's like this. But, you know, it doesn't last that long. You get it for like a day or two, and you're basking in it, but then it's like, okay, turn your attention.
Got to go back to the next
thing.
And
plus, it's not you. You're still going to work, you know?
But, like, the age I am now, like, I need that now, which I have a feeling that it may be coming soon for the Yankees.
I think so.
Very, very soon for the Yankees. And
this
like,
year?
I really am excited about that.
Yeah. The Yankees could do
but
it.
But, see, yeah, because you, I mean, you've had, like, as a Red Sox fan, you were a kid for the crap years.
Oh, for
and then
all
you were an adult at 04 when that happened. Like, I bet that was huge, man.
Was 20 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. In 03 when they lost a heartbreaker, I just sat and cried with my friend the Diesel.
See, I mean,
we just cried on each other's shoulders.
It's never going to end. Like,
no,
you know,
it's
going to be a forever thing.
Yeah, I do. I love that feeling when you win a championship. Yeah. But it's to me, as the older I get, the less it gets because now all my teams have won them, and now when they win, it's nice. Yeah. But it's and you know it's not doesn't affect your life.
And I am fortunate enough to pull for dynasties. So,
yeah, well,
you know, championships are easy to come by.
Right.
So, you know,
for you, you've had, but you haven't had it in a while now. Almost
and
10
it's been
years,
a while. I mean, what? Yeah, since 09, so 15.
Well, for the
years.
Yankees, yes, 09 and 15 for Duke.
Yeah.
What's your other? What else do you have?
Let me see what I got here.
Yeah.
A long, big belly laugh.
Oh, nice. That's
a
nice.
Long,
yeah, good one.
Like
yeah.
just where I.
Good feeling.
Like, just you can't control it.
Good feeling.
Like, you can't breathe.
Do you know the one that pops into my mind? It's not the best movie in the world, but have you seen that movie? Will Ferrell's in it. It's the one where he's the race car driver.
Oh, Talladega Nights. Yes. Yes.
That there's a scene in it where there's a cougar in the back of the car.
Yeah.
It's the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie, which is, I mean, it's not the best movie I've ever seen. I don't know why I found that so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. You know?
Last time that
That's
happened
a good
to me
feeling.
In a movie was Harold and Kumar 2.
I've not seen that.
Harold and Kumar 2, they are escaping from Guantanamo Bay.
Yep.
They are in the deep south, and they come across a deer. The deer gets shot, and he gets blood splattered on his face. Well, do you remember John Reap, the comedian from this area?
Yeah.
He was a hunter, shot the deer, pulled out a knife, stabbed the deer in the throat.
Yeah.
Pulled the knife out, licked the knife, and said, born in 04. And I laughed so hard at that for so long. I don't know why that was so funny to me.
I don't know either. That sounds awful.
I cried laughing.
That is a good feeling. Yeah. I like that. For me, finished workout. Let me flex it.
I mean, hey, man.
When you go in, let me tell you, every day I go to the gym, 6 days a week. When I walk in, it's awful.
Yeah.
When I walk out, it's glorious. You're done with it. You feel like you're spent. You've done something good. You get those endorphins or whatever, and it's great. It's a great feeling at the end of that.
I've never finished a workout.
No, you wouldn't know it.
I wouldn't know what that feeling
is
like.
You would not know it.
I don't know what a finished workout is.
No, and in fact, if you did it, if you started really working out, it'd probably take you a month to get there. Once you get it, it's like, okay, I just did something.
Because
you
go to a place that is specifically designed to get you where you need to go and end at a spot.
In 1 hour.
When I work out, whenever that may be, I just kind of do my thing. There's no structure to it. You know what I mean?
That's different. I saw, who was it? Oh, Rob Lowe, the actor who I like. He posted on his social media, you know, if you're not looking like this, then your workout, it wasn't worth it. And he's like covered in sweat.
Yeah.
The way I look at the end of it, we run a lot.
Yeah.
And boy, when it's done, that is a great feeling. Total flex here. I mean, 100%.
Okay.
You know that.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, total smug move. This is as smug as it gets. But that's true.
But
it really does feel good.
You like what you like.
I do, yes.
Next for me, when you wake up in the middle of the night, just parched.
Mm-hmm.
and you go and you drink like orange juice or something. I've drank an entire jug of orange juice one night. Just
in the middle of the night.
Yes, dude. Like just
really
just turn up the jug.
Really?
And just get that like you feel it
go
down
into you.
Your esophagus.
When you're really thirsty
and you're into
it goes
your
in.
Stomach, like you feel it settle
That's
in
nice.
Your stomach. That's the best feeling ever to me.
I don't do that in the
I
middle of the
it.
Night. I never drink drinks in the middle of the night. Almost
Even
never.
Even if it's water, but just orange juice for some reason, like when you're really thirsty, tastes so good.
I don't drink orange
that
juice.
That or Sprite
Too
or
sugary.
Something.
Too sugary for me. Certainly
What's
not
your favorite type of juice? Do you like juice?
I like tomato juice.
Oh, God.
And I like, I used to like grape juice. Too sugary, though.
Yeah, it
is. And I'll take a Trop 50 and cut it with water and have just a... Thimble, just a thimble,
but just only a on shot,
only on special
shot of
occasions,
watered though. Down apple juice.
But my number one thing that I like the most, that feels the greatest, is the burn of a Diet Coke as it goes
Ooh,
down.
That's a
God,
good
I
feeling.
Love that. I love
that's
that.
That's a great feeling.
And certainly, I should say, you know, hearing my children's laughter. That's
of course,
the best feeling.
Of course.
I have to say that. And my wife, sitting and talking with my wife is the best feeling.
My number one is drunk food. That's the one that's better than sex to me.
Drunk food.
Being drunk and going to like a Waffle House and just ordering a bunch of food
Greasy.
And then when it gets right to you,
yeah,
it just fills me with so much joy.
I don't know this life. It's
euphoric.
Yeah.
Like you just get like and you're like I'm gonna like I've had multiple times get like eating while drunk where I'm like I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Yeah,
and this I don't care
and it's worth it
and it's 100% worth it.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't drink enough to know that you know
it's like just a good drunk binge.
You know the. You know, there was a time when I was in college, I'd have a little, you know, something.
Yeah.
Not drinking.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit green and a little hoochie hoo. And I do remember the first time it was explained to me that food tasted better after that. And that was incredible. I ate some pimento cheese with Melba toast.
Melba toast?
They're little Melba crackers. They were a hard cracker. And I dipped it in pimento cheese. And my God, that tasted good. And the guy who was showing me the ropes on doing this is like, oh, yeah, food tastes 1,000 times better. And I was like, oh, my God. I ate like,
the whole box
and the whole quart of pimento cheese.
Yeah.
You know, it was so good. Because
you don't care about how much you're eating.
No,
you're
God.
Just like, just getting my stomach,
oh,
dude.
God, that was good. You're right. Yeah. And, you know, I occasionally, like a Waffle House after a drunk night or something, or one time I was in Indianapolis and I had a burrito after a drunk night. That was good. You're right. That's a good, amazing feeling.
Yes.
Just, you know what I almost put on here was a sneeze.
A good sneeze is nice. I look a good yawn, too. Mm-hmm.
Or when half your nose is completely closed and then it opens up all of a sudden, it's a great feeling.
Yes.
Those are good non-sexual physical feels. I like that.
We have to do the worst feeling things next week.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Those are terrible.
I know they are.
I don't want to delve into that. Yeah. Terrible. Paper cut.
Waving at somebody that you thought was waving at you.
Oh, God.
This is awkward. It's a terrible feeling.
A lot of awkwardness.
Yeah.
A lot of times I just pretend to hear people and they'll say something and I go, oh, yeah. And then they'll follow up and I'm like, I don't know what you said.
Like, just hope that they don't look at you waiting for another response. Like,
and then they'll go, well, so?
Yeah.
I don't know what you said. Sorry, and then you got to pretend, you know? Stupid.
I'm an idiot.
But I'm stupid that way. That's it. That's a good square in the round. I like that. We should win an award. Damn
we
it.
Should.
When's one coming out? Don't we have one soon?
We're nominated next month. Next month we'll figure it out.
We say we're nominated. I thought you said we got dominated.
Oh, I'm sorry. We may have got dominated. Who knows?
Have a great week. Back again. Download it. Tell your friends. Send it out. The podcast, Square and the Round.